I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me.
I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me. And I'm one with the Force.
Welcome to the Dharma of the Force, a podcast about the spiritual and philosophical side of Star Wars. If that puts you off, it's just words. And if you think that's all a bunch of mumbo jumbo, even better. We cannot widen our horizon and grow by never challenging what we believe, and we should always be suspicious of those who tell us what to believe. In some Buddhist traditions, listening to Dharma talks is a spiritual practice. It's not meant to give answers per se. It's an exercise in looking at questions and elaborating on them and finding the truth within yourself. So in that spirit, let us look at today's topic. What did the sequel trilogy write and the Mandoverse doesn't? Food in Star Wars. Okay, this is gonna be a touchy subject, but it has been simmering inside of me for a while, and I said I will only record a new episode when I feel I have something to say. First off, I'm a cis white male, and as such I'm aware that I have some blind spots. When I hear criticism, my first impulse is not to yell, "Not all men!" or claim that there is no racism because I haven't experienced it or something. If anything, everyone in a place of privilege has the responsibility to recognize it and use their voice to stand up for justice. Remember what I said about the comfort zone. It's easy to do nothing and enjoy the status quo. But I can clearly see and understand the issue without feeling threatened. And I ask you to do the same now. I'm not saying that what I'll talk about in this episode has the same importance or is an equal issue, but it requires a fair bit of tolerance and open-mindedness to comprehend and not to get all defensive and shut down. So as a disclaimer, if you're very sensitive to, let's call it, vegan propaganda, then this episode might not be for you. If you're willing to listen and are interested in the point I'm going to make, maybe hear something new, then thank you and welcome. Again, I'm not trying to force something onto you or question your lifestyle. I want to raise awareness of some things in Star Wars that you may not have noticed. And isn't it nice to open yourself up to other perspectives and see things in a different light? Okay, so what are we talking about here? The use of food in storytelling. Star Wars, to be more precise. I know Star Wars is not science fiction, but let's not overcomplicate it and compare it to science fiction rather than its plethora of influences for the sake of the argument. While Star Wars might have more in common with adventure serials and westerns, it is well documented, not least thanks to Dave Filoni, that George Lucas always wanted the stories to be about hope. And in that regard, it shares similarities with classic sci-fi. Science fiction has a tradition of depicting the future or past or advanced societies as basically mostly non-violent in their stance towards food. Be it futuristic pills in 60s sci-fi or the replicator in Star Trek, which, despite contradicting itself in some episodes, even mentioned this in some The Next Generation episodes. The incredibly bad Masters of the Universe movie in the 80s even has a scene in which one character is confused by why the food is on sticks when encountering ribs on planet Earth, commenting, "What a barbaric world." While it was played for a laugh, it still showed the sentiment that in movies about another, maybe better or in some ways more advanced world, people would reject the cruelty connected to factory farming. One might now, of course, argue that Star Wars was a long time ago, and I'd like to point out that in storytelling, the past is also often considered to be more advanced. Just think of chivalry and knightly qualities in late medieval stories or the samurai. And here's another coincidence. At the height of Buddhism in Japan, the entire country was vegetarian. It was only when General Perry forced Japan to open up that eating meat was reintroduced into Japan, and it was at first a very unusual and strange concept. Imagine some country invading yours going like, "Okay, we eat dogs now." And that's another point I won't linger on for too long, I promise. The cultural aspect of it. While Western societies find it odd to eat dogs, or cats, or guinea pigs, or sometimes even bunnies, others don't. But who is to draw the line? Everyone gets offended by the Chinese dog meat festival, but chicken nuggets. In other countries, the cow is sacred, no one would ever eat a cow. India is for the most part 70% vegetarian. Israel has the second highest number of vegans in the world. If you want to differentiate between the stories you watch and your own life, that's up to you. But the fact remains that Star Wars, in its influences, has a certain, and let me quote my buddies over at Star Wars Sessions here, vernacular. And what is that? Well, let's look at the episodes a little bit. In Phantom Menace, Anakin and Shmi are serving fruits. Fruits in their variety often seem exotic enough to fit the Star Wars universe. When Jar Jar tries to steal the weird dried animal, he gets into trouble. And he's the clown of the cast, depicted as a bit stupid. In episode 2, Anakin and Padme have some sort of weird pears for dinner. There's no dead animal on the plate. When Obi-Wan kills the Eklai, he does so in self-defense. It has been established that the Force connects all living beings and death can be felt. I would therefore like to argue that the Jedi wouldn't kill another living being, if it can be avoided. And food can. I said that I don't want to start missionizing, and I won't. But one argument in defense, in case someone comes up with plants have feelings too. Animals are literally flight animals, whereas plants often need someone to carry their seed for the species to survive. No chicken needs you to poop their eggs so a new chicken tree can grow. You can't cut off a pig's leg and put it in soil somewhere to grow another pig. Okay, back to Star Wars. When Luke and Uncle Owen argue, they actually have some sort of porridge. And on a funny side note, while the blue milk has been called bantha milk in universe, the real-life version in Galaxy's Edge is actually vegan. Then when Luke crash lands on Dagobah, his ration box contains odd pills and sticks. I've always laughed at it because it showed that it's another galaxy. It seemed so exotic and cool. In Return of the Jedi, Chewie falls for the Ewok's trap by going after the meat they laid out, and it immediately gets them into trouble, like it got Jar Jar into trouble in The Phantom Menace. Jabba, who is undisputedly a very bad guy, is the one eating small frogs. I'm sorry if that all seems far-fetched to some, but I've heard and read so many far-fetched fan theories that I think I actually make some valid points here. And hey, it's okay to have far-fetched fan theories. As humans, we want to make sense of the bits and pieces. We want to make a face out of the two dots and the line. We see faces on the surface of Mars. But some details that don't affect us, or we don't have any memory we can take as example, we just disregard. And I think this is something people rarely picked up on, which is why I'm doing it now. You're welcome. In Force Awakens, Rey eats some exotic fruit in Maz Kanata's castle. Then Luke, who cuts himself off from the Force, he doesn't care anymore, catches a fish in The Last Jedi, which furthers his detachment from the Force and the pain that comes with beings dying, which is why he also couldn't sense Han's death. On the other hand, Chewie learns about the implications of killing another being for food. He comes to recognize the pork as an individual equal in their right to live and sees the ramifications. He doesn't even eat the pork he already killed. Would it matter? It's already dead. It would matter to the other porks. He later even has porks on the ship. Did he adopt the child of the mother he killed? Is he trying to atone? Who knows? Maybe it was just made for a laugh, or maybe Rian Johnson got that part right. But they also freed the Fathiers, so I almost think this nod to animal rights was intentional and part of what he sees as George Lucas's vision of what Star Wars should be. Now let's look at the Mandoverse instead. Every writer brings their handwriting and parts of their personality with it. I mean, there's even a thing called forensic linguistics, because a part of your mindset and your thoughts will translate in what you write. It is apparent that Jon Favreau loves food, and it's almost as if he puts Easter eggs for his cooking show in almost every episode. It's one point of criticism I always have in the books. Star Wars needs to be a bit different. It can't mirror the real world completely. Okay, Dax's diner is already a stretch, but I have to admit I get upset about Jedi smoking cigars in books or people drinking caff in the morning and having their nerve steaks. George Lucas created this framework of what Star Wars is and the responsibility that comes with it. It's for kids. Death sticks are bad, spice is bad, and bad things happen to bad people in the end. And as much as I like Mandalorian, it breaks with many of these storytelling traditions. Do we need to see a toilet? Do I need to imagine Din wiping his ass? Is that part of the story? Does it add something other than a giddy joke that seems out of place? Will there be a series about a young Ben Solo in which a server droid catches him masturbating? Is that what George Lucas envisioned? Star Wars has a language and a tone. The more you dismantle and disregard it, the less Star Wars it's gonna be. You can tell different stories, but they still have to be in the same language. Now look back at what I said about the saga films. The sequel trilogy stayed true to that. In the Mandalorian, we had a Kowakian monkey lizard on a spit, several accounts of meat being cut up and grilled in almost every episode, and even a slaughterhouse in the Book of Boba Fett. Then there's this episode in Mandalorian Season 2 in which Grogu is literally eating frog ladies' babies. I really thought that this was gonna be the episode that would teach Grogu the consequences of his actions and that he has to value life and be more considerate. But nope, the story did another 180 in the end for a laugh. A lot has been said about the quality of storytelling in recent times, but it is that worries me a bit. It is part of a bigger picture. Did I enjoy the stories nevertheless? Of course I did. I don't look for stuff to dislike. I always look for stuff to like. But it's also a bit disappointing that the one thing you liked about Star Wars is being ignored for personal preferences. I'm not a Disney hater, but with a large corporation and all their shareholders, there's always the risk of meddling anyway. If anything, I feel sorry for whoever has to juggle all that input. Put in some space cooler, because we want to sell more of those. And that's already happened in Galaxy's Edge, but that's okay. I don't go to Disneyland for an unbiased, non-commercial meditation retreat. I expect to be penetrated by "buy me, buy me, buy me" from all sides. That's fine. I signed up for that when I go there. So what I'm saying is, the same way you recognize when the writing staff of a TV show doesn't have a single woman, person of color, or disabled person, but is writing about these subjects, which always results in some sort of horrible mix of pandering, cliché, and misconception. It also shows when someone doesn't get all the puzzle pieces that make up Star Wars. Sometimes it just feels as if some little boy plays with his Star Wars toys and maybe add some G.I. Joes and Transformers to make up a new version that is not Star Wars, but came out of Star Wars and mutated into some sort of crossover unique to this boy. Maybe he gets another boy to participate, and maybe this other boy used to make up better stories, but only corrects him when it really gets out of hand. So in conclusion, do I think that Star Wars should be vegan propaganda and teach everyone that eating meat is bad? No. But I also don't think it should do the opposite. Star Wars needs to be careful. The property has been a huge influence on kids for generations. And when I hear "I'm a Mandalorian, weapons are part of my religion," I wonder how much money did the NRA invest in that. And when I now see Obi-Wan cutting some meat in the first teaser, I wonder whatever happened to the porridge and protein bars Luke used to eat. Just pay attention to it next time you watch Star Wars, and maybe you'll notice too. If you want to support me or this podcast, don't send money. I don't have a Patreon. Find a charity of your choosing and donate. And do yourself a favor and switch off your phone, disconnect, and just sit in silence for a few minutes. Close your eyes and
breathe. Just breathe.